Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
And so we're going to start another adventure together without Andy. And this adventure is Acts, Scenes from the Beginning of the Revolution. What a title, right? Does that get you fired up a little bit? Yeah, I mean, who doesn't want to be part of a revolution, right? So it's going to be quite an adventure. Acts tells the story of the early church. And the story of the early church is a phenomenal story. It is phenomenal. It's a movement that changed the entire world, right? And we can easily lose touch of that in 2026, sitting here in this building on the Cave Hill Road. I have a book that I love about the early church. It's called The Patient Ferment of the Early Church. And hopefully the quote will come up here, but here's what this guy, Alan Kreider, says. The growth of the Christian church in the Roman Empire is mysterious. It's a great word, isn't it? It's mysterious. Scholars who spend their entire lives studying this phenomenon continue to find it surprising. Hold on to that word, surprising. We tend to assume that this growth of the church and forget how surprising it was. Nobody had to join these churches. People were not compelled to become members by invading armies or the imposition of laws. Social convention did not induce them to do so. Indeed, Christianity grew despite the opposition of laws and social convention. So against all odds, this thing that began with a few followers grew and changed the world. And that word surprise. So this morning at 2 a.m. or so, I was woken up and I felt the Lord say to me, I want you to pay attention to that word surprise, which fills me with a bit of holy terror, right? Because this is not a history lesson that we're going on here, right? This is an adventure. The church that began in the way that we'll see in Acts is a story that is still unfolding, and we get to be a part of it, which is wonderful and terrifying all at the same time. So my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would surprise us as well, that we would be moved, that we would be caught up afresh in this story, in this revolution, this mysterious thing that happened that changed the face of the world. In our journey through Acts, we're going to see the Holy Spirit move in power. We're going to see radical generosity and hospitality, which is really challenging. We're going to see radically transformed lives. We're going to see astounding healings and demonstrations of the work of the Spirit. We're going to see really ordinary people like me and you, step out in tremendous risk. We're going to see them face horrific suffering and persecution, and to meet these challenges with inspiring courage. We're going to see the church go from being this tiny little messianic movement to a multi-ethnic international movement that changes the world. Very exciting, right? Are you guys ready for this? I pray that we will be surprised. As I was thinking about this, one thing that came to mind was a couple of years ago, there was a preacher from New Zealand called David McGregor who visited us, and he used an analogy for talking about the mission of the church that I'll never forget. And I hope that the images will come up, and he used two pictures. One was of a cruise ship, right? And the second one was of a rescue boat. Does anybody remember this analogy? A few of you were here there. So what is he talking about? Right. Well, in Acts, we're going to be reminded that the church is not a cruise ship. We don't come here to be entertained, to have a good time. We don't come to spectate an event, to sip cocktails by the pool. We're not an audience. We're a body. We're a community. We're a family. And we're a family on mission. And our King Jesus has given us a job to do, the rescue boat. We are the rescue boat. And the job isn't coming here to sit on a Sunday morning for an hour. Praise the Lord, because that would be incredibly boring. I mean, I hope you won't like be bored to tears while I'm talking, but I'm not that entertaining. I'm so glad that Jesus has given us an assignment that is far more exciting and compelling. We're not called to just carry our Bibles around like good Christians and come and look presentable. We're called to do the stuff that is in this book, this incredible book called the Bible. We don't come here to find ourselves, to find our true selves. We come here to find our identity in Jesus and to find the purpose, the unique purpose and assignment that he's given to us in his kingdom for his glory, for the growth and the building up of the church. This is how the Bible Project puts it. Acts is a story about Jesus leading his people by the Spirit to go out into the world and invite all nations to live under his reign. So as we begin this journey through the book of Acts, my prayer is that we will be caught up afresh in this multi-ethnic international movement. Isn't that exciting? I want to start by praying, okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you, we adore you, we honor you in this place. Jesus, we recognize you as King. Right here in this moment, you rule and you reign. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome the work of the Holy Spirit in this place, in our lives. And Lord, I just come humbly before you today. And I ask, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you fall? Would you catch us up in your story all over again? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We don't want to miss what you're doing in the world. We want to be a part of it, Lord. And I thank you for the invitation into a surprise, into more than we could ever ask for or imagine. And I pray right now, Lord, would you draw our focus onto you, onto what you're doing. We silence the distractions in this place, the ways in which the enemy would want to pull us away from our true purpose and our true identity, the way that he would want to distract us from our mission. We take authority over those things right now in Jesus' name. And we say, Lord, would you speak right now? Would you speak? Would you light a fire in us afresh? Catch us up in your story, Lord. Amen. So our first stop on our adventure is Acts chapter 2, which you will probably know very well. And we're not going to preach through actually every single verse of Acts. We're going to zero in on specific stories, and today's stories is quite a whopper. But before we dive into that one, since this is our first talk on Acts, just a little bit of background on the book of Acts, just a teeny tiny bit, few of the headlines. So Acts is actually a unified two-part work. The first part of Acts is actually this, the Gospel of Luke, which you would have seen us giving these out at Christmas time, right? So Acts follows Luke, and it's actually one unified work. And the first part of it is about what Jesus began, which is what we did at Christmas time, right? And the second part of it is what Jesus's followers continue to do. And one of my favorite things that I discovered in looking into the background of Acts is that there's this guy called John Chrysostom. Have you ever heard of him? He's one of the early church fathers, and they called him the Golden Mouth because he was such an eloquent preacher, which is just amazing. But he says that Acts, he calls it the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. And I love that. Gospel of the Holy Spirit. We are in for a real treat, guys. This is going to be such an adventure as we journey through Acts. Okay, so that literally was a whistle-stop tour. I would encourage you to watch the Bible Project videos on the book of Acts. read the book yourself, since we won't be preaching through every verse, and dive into this, because the more that you invest, the more you're going to get out of it. Right, so Acts chapter 2. Many of us will know this chapter, and actually, my husband preached an amazing sermon on this last Pentecost Sunday, which some of you might remember. So if you are on our email mailing list, in our weekly email, you're going to receive two sermons, right? One of them is the Pentecost sermon from last Pentecost. Second one is a sermon on the gift of tongues, because I don't have time to cover all of that today. So if you are on our mailing list, you will get that in your email inbox. If you would like to join our mailing list, you would be so welcome to do that at the welcome desk just in that back corner. Okay, so Acts chapter 2. Let's dive in, shall we? So Jesus has died. He has been raised to life. He has ascended. And just before he went up to heaven, what did he say? What did he say to his disciples? Anybody know? This is interactive. What did he say? I'll be back. That's right. David, you never miss a moment, do you? Who did he... Thank you. He's brilliant, isn't he, David? Yeah. It's always better when you're in the room, David. I'll be on my toes now. So... less open-ended questions. All right, so who did Jesus say would come before he comes back? The Holy Spirit. That's right. Okay, so this is what's about to happen. Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, 7 weeks after Jesus' resurrection, the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a mighty windstorm in the skies above them, and it filled the house where they were meeting. Pretty awesome, right? A giant windstorm. Pretty cool. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. This is why you're getting a talk sent to you on the gift of tongues. I don't have time to cover that. But what happens in the book of Acts, chapter 2, is that this thing happens and the people around them, funny enough, hear this commotion. So what do? They come running. And Luke tells us that they come running to see what's going on and that they are Jews from all different nations of the world. And they are absolutely stunned to hear that their own language is being spoken in the midst of all this chaos. And it says that they were amazed, they were perplexed by all that they saw. I don't know if you've imagined this, like if you stopped and thought about what this must have been like. Like imagine you're in the midst of it and somebody with a really broad Belfast accent started to shout out. Like that would get your attention, right? If you were in Jerusalem, for instance, you know, like that would be something. And in response, they ask this question. What does this mean? And this is the first of two questions that I want to zero in on today. This disruption to their day, this surprising thing that they weren't expecting, what does this mean? I don't know about you, I really don't do well with interruptions, especially when I'm really focused and I've got things that I want to get done, or disruptions to my day. Can anybody relate to that? Only one of you. The rest of you are all totally fine if your day is completely upended. Amazing. Good for you. But what if the Holy Spirit surprises and disrupts our plans in the year ahead? How do we actually feel about that? A little bit nervous, maybe? Yeah. Yeah, me too. So they were asking, this crowd of people were asking what this meant for them. And I hope that we will ask ourselves, what does this mean for us? What does the coming of the Holy Spirit mean for me and for you, for this church, for Belfast City Vineyard, for us on the Cave Hill Road or wherever you've come from today? Now, some of the people in this crowd end up in that moment straight away following Jesus, being baptized right then and there. But others are saying what? They're saying, oh, they're drunk, they've had too much wine, They're attempting to explain away what they are seeing. For some, the coming of the Spirit is an unwelcome disruption to their lives, and they want to make it go away, to control it, to manage it. Have you ever been there? I've been there. Oh no, Lord, I don't want to hear that. Don't talk to me about that. I've been there. One of the things that we're going to see over and over in the book of Acts is the disruption of the status quo, of the way the Holy Spirit interrupts the culture, what's happening, a community, a people, a nation. So here's a quote that I love. This is from the Bible Project as well. These stories, the stories in Acts, show us the paradox that the early church presented to the world. It was a Jewish messianic movement, but it was ethnically diverse, full of communities that treated men and women, and rich and poor, and slave and free, all as equals. And they all gave their allegiance to King Jesus alone, and no other god or king. And so their very existence turned upside down the values of Roman culture. But the Christians posed no military threat because Jesus taught them to be people of peace. And so the only crime Paul and the Christians can be accused of is not conforming to the status quo. How are we doing with that? To follow Jesus is to seek first his kingdom and to care about the things that he cares about. Our world doesn't care about the same things that Jesus cares about. So there's this clash of kingdoms. And in speaking to some of you feel like you're right in the middle of this. Maybe you've just come to faith, and there's this clash of kingdoms. As we journey through Acts, we're going to see how early believers suffered and were persecuted for their faith. We're going to see their risk-taking and their courage. They will step out into the unknown time and time again in faith. How do we feel about the unknown? Like 35 days of silence is terrifying to me, never mind something else that God might want to do. But they don't do it in their own power, do they? The Spirit has to come first. They do it in the power of the Spirit. I love that worship song that we sing called King of Kings, and there's that line in it that says, "The church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame." The Spirit of God lights the flame, right? We don't light it. The apostles didn't light it. The Spirit of God does. This surprising revolution is not something the early Jesus followers took on in their own strength. They didn't start with a strategy or a five-year plan. They didn't have the whiteboard out, trying to map it out. I don't want to dismiss planning, okay? That's not what I'm saying. Planning can be very good. Consider the context, though. That's not what was going on here. That's not how the church began in the early days. It began with Jesus' followers meeting together and waiting on the Spirit of God. So coming back to our question, what does this mean? Here's one thing I think it means. Just as the early church needed the Spirit of God, so do we. To fill us, Roger's up for that. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Roger. Amen. So do we. To fill us, to empower us. And in my opinion, one of our greatest pitfalls, including for me, one of your pastors, is to rely on our own strength, our own talent, my ability to put together a sermon for you rather than to actually, what does the Lord want to say? Relying on the Spirit of God. We just read that the Holy Spirit settled on each person who was gathered in that room. Each person. How does each one of you feel about that? Each one a few persons. Yeah? You ready for the Holy Spirit to settle on you? Are you open to that today? I love living in Northern Ireland. I love the rich legacy of faith and Christianity. Here, I have learned so much. However, I have one objection. Well, I have a few. I have one. I'll share one. This is one of my soapboxes, though, so I have to be careful that I don't just go off on a whole other sermon here. But I've met so many Christians that are afraid of and reluctant when it comes to the Holy Spirit. What a tragedy. That is such a shame. So many people who have been taught really poor theology that the Holy Spirit doesn't do this stuff anymore. I didn't grow up here, but I grew up in a church that was kind of like that. I remember as a child, a young child, sitting in far too many very boring church services and thinking to myself, they talk about the Father, they talk about the Son, there's this Trinity, this third guy, the Holy Spirit. What does he actually do? He doesn't really do much, does he? Did he run out of steam after the first round of apostles? You know, he sort of burnt himself out after the first go. Even as a child, I was like, there's something missing here. The power of the Spirit in our lives is not an optional extra. I really believe that with all my heart. It's not like when we're driving our cars, the optional extra of having a heated seat or something, which is amazing, and I wish that I had heated seats when it's been so cold, right? That is an optional extra that we can install if we have the funds to do so. The Spirit of God is not an optional extra if we are following Jesus. In fact, in the book of Timothy, we are warned about those who have a form of godliness but deny its power. We aren't the perfect church here, as you all well know. In fact, newsflash, there is no perfect church because the church is full of people. But I do think that one thing that we do well in our family here is to welcome the Holy Spirit, to pray for one another in the power of the Spirit, not just in here, but in our life groups, to minister and operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And if you've never been prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit, we would love to do that today. Last week, we had our annual anointing service where we anoint people with oil. And the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. You guessed it. So this is not some kind of empty ritual that we do because we want to start off the new year with something that looks really holy, right? We actually genuinely believe and are expectant that when we anoint people with the oil, that something happens. That if we partner with the Spirit, it's not Christian magic or anything, but if we partner with the Spirit, that he actually does stuff. That's why we do the anointing with oil. And if you missed that last Sunday, if you were snowed in or whatever, do not worry. There is oil. There is people to pray for you. So it's all good. You can come up after the talk today and be anointed with oil. But I was really challenged this past week because I had a very busy week. Anybody else have a really busy week starting off January going, oh my word, how am I going to do this? And I found myself thinking, if I can just get through this week, have you been there? If I could just get through Christmas because it's mental, if I can just get through this family dinner because I think I might kill my family, if I can just make it through January, you know, dry January or whatever you're doing, you know, if I can just get through that, get to the other side of it. And I found myself thinking that, and I was like, wait a minute. That's not actually good. That's not right. I'm about to preach a sermon on being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Maybe I should think about this differently. Maybe I shouldn't just be trying to get through something, but I should actually be expectant the Holy Spirit is going to empower me for the things that he's called me to do, and that I don't have to do this in my own strength. And it was like a weight lifted off of me as I was driving in my car with no heated seats. And I feel like that is such an important thing for us to consider. That weight that we live under. That pressure. That getting through life. What if life isn't supposed to be like that? What if we're actually supposed to enjoy our life in the power of the Spirit? And yeah, life is hard, and we're going to see that in Book of Acts. It's going to get really hard. But there's something about the life that those early believers had that I find really challenging and compelling. And there's a resistance inside of me. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. There's a resistance to depending fully on the Holy Spirit because it means I have to let go. I'm not holding that wheel of my car as tightly. I'm letting go. I'm depending on the Lord. I'm not relying on my own talent. I'm not up here thinking, I'm going to preach this really amazing sermon for you guys. I'm really not that entertaining. And I'm really tired because the Holy Spirit was talking to me in the night, and I'm really tired this morning. But guess what? I can live life in the power of the Holy Spirit, and so can you. And there's such a joy in that. There's such a relief in that. Such a weight that's lifted. So what if, as we head into a week of prayer and fasting especially, what if we surrendered all over again? Because we forget, right? We just forget, and we get into patterns of thinking, patterns of being. But what if we, together as a community, decided we're going to surrender all over again to the power of the Spirit in our lives? What might God want to do? Terrifying, right? So the next thing that happens in Acts is that Peter gets up to preach. And he quotes the Old Testament prophet Joel. And he says, "In the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This thing of the Spirit being poured out, that mighty windstorm that we just read about, is a really big deal. It was prophesied long before it ever happened, that old and young, men and women, all people would be filled with the Spirit. And I was reading one of the commentators who said that actually that verb to pour out is the image of a torrential downpour that is poured out on a parched earth. Does anyone here feel parched and dry? Not a small trickle of the Holy Spirit, not just a spring shower, but an almighty downpour. Not just for pastors and Christian leaders and worship leaders and people that are important, a downpour for each and every person. This is part of what makes this a revolution. The spiritual power doesn't just sit with a certain group of people, people of influence, people with titles, but actually that every person is empowered. This alone is a radical, subversive piece of our story, of our origin story. It's turning everything upside down. Can you see how incredible this is? Those of you that have been around for a while know that we often use this quote from one of our founders of the Vineyard called John Wimber, and he talks about everyone getting to play. This is everyone getting to play. The Spirit of God poured out on every person. Now, I'm looking at your faces, and some of you do not look convinced that this actually includes you. I'm just going to tell you. But it does. It includes you, each one of us. We all get to play. And as I was thinking about this, I remembered a story when our son was about 7 or 8. He didn't know I was going to share this story, and he's sitting here. I was picking him up from school. You maybe don't even remember this, but I was picking him up from school, and my day had been extremely chaotic. And in that moment, my 7 or 8-year-old kid prophesied to me. He started to talk about order and chaos. I don't even know where that came from. And that is a great example. The Holy Spirit poured out on young and old and every person. Isn't that amazing? And, you know, some of the most powerful prophetic words that I've received are not from like a celebrity pastor. They're from you people in this community. I have a little notebook where I write stuff down. Some of the most impacting prophetic words of encouragement have come from right here. This is a revolution. Acts 2 goes on to say, "Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church, about 3,000 in all. They joined the other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles and signs and wonders. And the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. Wow, what a story, right? We've heard that a few times probably if we've been in church. What if we actually tried to imagine what that must have been like? How beautiful, how challenging. And maybe if you're like me, you're thinking, well, that was all right for them, but I could never do that. But see, that's actually the point. They couldn't either, except that the Holy Spirit came and empowered them to do far more than they could ever ask for or imagine. What might the Spirit of God want to do in us today, in the year ahead? What if we didn't rule ourselves out? But recognized that in his power, we could do far more than we could ever ask for or imagine. Just think about that for a minute. Just take that in. I know it's lunchtime. You're thinking about, what am I going to eat for lunch? What about all you could ever ask for or imagine? And beyond that, what might the Lord want to do in and through your life? So now to our second question. It's the question that comes in response to Peter's message, which for the sake of time, we don't have time to go through his whole message, so hopefully you'll read this at home. But he finishes his message, and then the question that they ask, they say, what shall we do? Many in the crowd have been moved by what they've heard about the Spirit, about Jesus, and they're saying, what shall we do? A very simple response, but it's an important one, because the Christian life isn't just a philosophy. It's not a set of beliefs or rules. It's not something that we debate intellectually. It's actually a way of life. We don't just sit around with one another and go, here, what does this mean? Rachel, what do you think this means? Or, you know, Joe, what do you think this means? That's great. But we are called to actually go out and do the stuff. Many in the crowd heard this and immediately wanted to get baptized. And since we're talking about baptism, I just happen to know that there's some of you in this room that probably are thinking about getting baptized, or you're reading this and you're going, oh, Jesus, Peter, all these people in the Bible, they say get baptized. Maybe I should too. So here's a QR code. If you're interested in getting baptized, would you scan that? Would you, I guess, register your interest, tell us that you're up for it, or talk to us at the back and let us know that you are interested in getting baptized. If you don't know Jesus yet, we would love to pray for you today. What about those of us who have been following Jesus for some time? What about us? What will our response be? What shall we do? That question. What shall I do? Well, I think one of the key things for us to notice in the book of Acts is that they did the next thing that was in front of them. So when we pick up our Bibles, we can go into the book of Acts and we can read the whole thing. And we know what's coming. They didn't know what was coming. In the same way that we don't know what's coming in 2026. And so what if we just do the next thing that's in front of us that the Lord is asking us to do? And let him worry about the rest. Another thing that I think is important for us to note from this chapter is that it all began with people waiting in a room on God. That's where it all started. Are you waiting on God in prayer? Are you asking him for direction, for guidance, for him to lead the way? Are we doing that? Let's not lose sight of the importance of that. We don't want to just be busy doing things, do we? We want to do the things that he's actually asking of us and go where the Spirit is leading. It's really easy for Christians to be super busy doing stuff. Are we doing the right stuff? Are we doing the stuff that he's asking us to do? What surprising phone call might that be? Wonderful. Another thing that we'll see in the book of Acts is that sometimes we know what's coming, and the direction of travel, and sometimes we don't. Back to this word, surprise. Sometimes we just don't know what God is about to do. And it's not in our plans. So in 2025, this church planted a church in Cumber called Faith Vineyard. That wasn't in my plan or Andy's plan. You maybe better get that. We're just a family here, right? So it's fine. You can nip out and answer your phone. It's no problem. We didn't set out to plant a church in Cumber. And we certainly didn't set out for our children's pastor of 20 years to say, see ya, I'm away. It was very costly. But how wonderful that they were actually meeting this morning and there's a gathering of believers in Cumber that wasn't there before. Thank you, Roger. Hallelujah indeed. It wasn't in our plan, but it was in the Lord's plan. You know, I never thought I would be a pastor. I never thought I would live in Northern Ireland. Life with Jesus is full of surprises. We don't always know where it's going to take us. But are we up for being led by him, empowered by the Spirit to do the things that he's called us to do, to go to the places that he's called us to go? From the little things in the everyday, let's not underestimate those little things, the ordinary things that he makes extraordinary, to the big kingdom adventures. He's always working, and we sang about it today. Even when we don't see it, he's working. Even when we don't feel it, he's working. He's growing and building his church. He's calling us to radical living all the time. And so my hope is this morning that we'll take these two questions. What does it mean for me? And what should I do? And that we take those away. We prayerfully consider what that means for us and what the Lord is calling us to do as individuals and as a community as well. We get to be part of this revolution. How exciting is that? It's actually brilliant. And even now, the Lord is doing incredible things in our community, and it's exciting to get to see it happen. We can be part of this family on mission. Yes, it's a bit messy sometimes, but it is a life of meaning and purpose. And who doesn't want that? Why don't you stand? We're going to wait on the Holy Spirit. If this is familiar to you, you know what to do. If you're new here or visiting us, we do really actually believe that the Holy Spirit is working right now in this moment. And we want to take a bit of time. We want to wait on him. We want to see what he's doing. Sometimes it's helpful to close your eyes, maybe put your hands out in a way to just have your body show that you're here to receive. So we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come and surprise us. Just welcome him into your heart wherever you are right now. Welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Welcome you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and empower your church afresh, Lord. Come and rest on us this morning. Come, Lord. And we're not manufacturing anything. I don't need anything to happen in this moment. And Isaiah is going to wait a wee moment before he plays. The worship music is great. We're not making anything happen. Holy Spirit, would you come? We welcome you. We surrender to the work that you want to do in us and through us right now. And Lord, we say that we're sorry where we've relied on our own strength and gifting, where we have shut you out, Holy Spirit, where we've been afraid or reluctant, where we've believed teaching that isn't right. And this morning, this afternoon, we want to give our wholehearted yes to you, Holy Spirit, with all of your power and your surprises, all of the work that you do in us, all the work that you do in the depths of our soul, all the work that you do around us when we step out in faith, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and stretch this community. Increase our capacity to experience your power. Come, Lord Jesus, come. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. Some of you right now are having a revelation of just how absolutely awesome Jesus is. Come, Holy Spirit, and increase that right now across this room. The revelation of the power and the authority and the glory of our King Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Show us who Jesus really is.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.